I could have used a number of texts this morning. Sometimes I really question the way we do things. I don't see Jesus when he spoke, said, open in the Torah to such and such, such and such. He was the Torah. All he needed to do was talk. But I believe it was in the Old Testament where they read the scriptures line upon line. I think it was a book. I'm going to get myself in trouble because I wasn't planning on saying this. I think the first time a pulpit was mentioned was the book of Nehemiah, but I could be wrong. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. Praise the Lord. Boy, it has been beautiful, warm weather. I guess you didn't agree. I didn't hear no amen. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the morning creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do all things well. In fact, Lord, you're greater than we're even able to imagine. Your glory is even beyond what we at our finest moments believe it to be. Oh, the half has not been told, as the Queen of Sheba said, and rightfully so. But we do want to come to you today and open the book once again. And I ask for the Holy Spirit again to anoint and to quicken our hearts and to bring us closer to Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I caught myself praying earlier in the week and a few days leading up to it. Lord, I want to know you better than I do. I'm sure I'm not the first or the last to come up with such a thought. Even Paul the Apostle said, oh, that I might know him. Well, Paul, don't you know God? You've had so, yes, but I want to know him better. And Jesus said, come learn of me, and we never cease learning. We want more. That was an expression that was used at Toronto, that you would hear people at the altar just saying, more Lord, more Lord. And when it is sincere, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a good prayer to pray. I didn't want my Christian life to become stagnant. I'm just like you. I battled many same things. And I didn't want my walk with God to just be routine and set into a ritual familiarity. I didn't want it to be stagnant. He says over and over in many ways, stir thyself. He told Timothy to stir up the gift. In the Old Testament, the prophet used the illustration that you've settled on your lees. And I don't want that. And I know that when water becomes stagnant, it gives off a vapor that is called a miasma. It's harmful vapors. And it is true. If we don't keep moving in God and we become stagnant, we also can give off harmful vapors, and they're in the form of attitudes that are not becoming as a Christian. And so I was talking to the Lord, and Lord, I want to know you more. Well, don't you know him? Yes. Have you been preaching from it? Yes. But you ever not get, how many are not satisfied? You want more of the Lord? Yes. And so I thought, well, the place to begin, I'm going to go back and read Genesis and start over again as though I have never read the book. And I'm going to try to get into that frame of mind and see as I read if I can't see something that I haven't seen before. And that's always the case. But as I read and as I was meditating over these words, I noticed finally when I got to verse 20, the Lord began to deal with me. And I will share in verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." And that word abundantly grabbed me. And I thought, you know, God could have said, just let the waters bring forth. But he added I think that's an adverb, isn't it? Or an adjective. An adverb is when it's a comment on the action. And, oh, I'm going to show my ignorance real quick if I don't hush. But he said, let them bring forth abundantly. And I thought, wow, God is a big God. He could have said, just bring forth. And it would have obeyed. But he said, bring forth abundantly. And then I read in verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, and the waters brought forth abundantly." Looks like they obeyed. In Genesis 1:22, this same thought began to have some impact upon me, and it says, "Be fruitful and multiply." He didn't say just add, he said multiply. And I'm beginning to get the point. I believe God is wanting to impress upon my heart. And here's what I came up with. If God is giving to an object that can respond, though this object is different than mankind, because in us he breathed into us a living soul. But these inanimate objects, he did breathe into them a living soul. In fact, it says that in Psalms 147, verse 4, we read, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." That is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Every star, he's got a name for it, and we don't even know how many there are. They're beyond, when I just said R, my voice kind of cracked. I'm telling myself, make sure when you talk, you sound like a man. Because it happened again. I was on the phone, and I was talking to some reception or something, and I hadn't been in the conversation 20 seconds. She says, "Well, ma'am," I said, "I am not a ma'am. I'm a sir." "Oh, I'm sorry." I told my wife, I said, "Do I sound like a woman on the phone?" She said, "What did you say?" "You don't remember." I said to myself, mercy sakes, I got to lower my voice. "He calleth them all by their names." I wonder what the star's name was that led the wise man to the Christ child. In Psalms 148, verse 3, it says, "Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him. All ye stars of light, praise him. Ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word." And then in verse 9, encouraging them to praise him, he says, "Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth, all people, princes and all judges of the earth." Now, I can understand kings and praising him, but he's telling the mountains and all these other objects to praise him. says, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them, plural, including all of those, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. And then I remembered the words of Jesus that said, in Luke 19:40, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Every object, everything that was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, if the rocks can cry out, if someone isn't doing their job, that means they know their maker. It means they can obey. Because the Bible says the disciples, when they got to know Jesus, one of the things that elevated it, their knowledge of him, is when in the storm he said, peace be still. And remember what they said? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, if these inanimate objects, and I'm not putting them equal with us, but if these inanimate objects can obey him and they're commanded to praise him, and now I take in the words of Jesus, because he's the one that made the illustration or the comparison between us. We're made of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into us a living soul. Jesus is the one that made the comparison. Jesus said in Matthew 10:31, fear ye not therefore, you are more valuable than a sparrow. You're more valuable than a sparrow. He's the one that made the comparison. I would conclude that a sparrow is more valuable than an inanimate object. Are you with me? Please. You're just looking at me like you're getting ready to go. All right. If we are more important than a sparrow, and if a sparrow is more important than the rocks and the hills and the stars and the wind and the waves that can obey him, and if he takes care of us, or let me back up, if he said to the waters, bring forth abundantly, if he gives to the waters abundantly, and if he takes care of the sparrows abundantly, how much more will he take care of us? And his giving nature began to weigh heavily in a joyful way upon my heart. There is that passage that says he is able to do, and there's four words, and each one seems to take you higher up. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. And as I'm realizing the giving nature of God to an inanimate object and the sparrow that is more valuable, how much more does he give to us abundantly? That he gives life, and Jesus says, more abundantly. What does God give? As I'm reading on in the book of Genesis, I am reminded in Genesis 8:1, God, it says, remembered Noah. God gives his memory in a delightful way to us. Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah. I'm glad that he gives his memory to us. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. God gives abundantly to the waters, but he gives to us thoughts concerning us that are not only abundantly, but are full of love and life. And he says to Noah and his sons, in Genesis 9:1 to be fruitful and multiply, because I'm going to give and I want you to multiply and replenish the earth. God gives abundant thoughts in memory towards us, but then he also, in an abundant way, takes all of our sins and doesn't remember them against us, but buries them in the sea of forgetfulness. He does things in such an abundant way. All of your sins have been forgiven. He gives enough that it's all covered. And then he gives thoughts of memory towards us. And then I saw that God gives something else. In Genesis 9:1, he gives the waters abundantly, speaks of multiplication. God remembered Noah. And now it says in Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This giving a blessing to Noah is an amazing thought if you meditate upon it. God blessed Noah. It's not referring to, and I'm sure it could include it, he had blessed him up to this point. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. But as Noah is coming out of the ark, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This all by itself, and God blessed Noah, is such a thought that drew me in. Giving blessings from God to his people became such a wonderful thing that happened that it became an anointed practice or something that was instituted in to not only Noah and on down the line to Abraham and then to God's children and all the way to where Moses now was instructed by God to gather the people and to say these words and to bless them. And for this reason, God instructed Moses. I'm going to tell you what to say, Moses, and I want you to instruct the people to rejoice because there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. How many would like to have a blessing overtake you? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, that familiar passage of Scripture, verse 3 says, blessed shalt thou be. Remember, God blessed Noah, and his blessings have never stopped. Deuteronomy 28:3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And my understanding of God and my appreciation of him began to grow from the waters abundantly to the giving nature of God. And God blessed Noah and all down the line where God blessed. And so established was the fact that God is into blessing people. In Deuteronomy 33:1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. When it is a commanded blessing, he said, I will command that a blessing overtake thee. When Joseph showed up and being released from prison and now kind of in and out, and he's a servant unto Potiphar, Potiphar himself understood. He said, Joseph, ever since you came to work for me, I notice my household has been blessed. It's because of you, Joseph. Joseph, there was a blessing commanded upon him. I believe that where you go, you bring a blessing. And just like the Ark of the Covenant, when it was finally taken by the Philistines and put in the temple of Dagon, it destroyed them. But when it finally ended up in the house of Obededom, it said that even his house was blessed. I just want to remind you today, you are blessed. And when Isaac, this idea of blessing, it just wasn't a theological thought that had no weight behind it. It became part of their daily thinking. And so how all this worked, I don't know. But I know that Isaac says, I need to bless my boys. And before I depart, and so I want you to go out and get my favorite meal. And there was Esau and Jacob, and we know how the mother deceived and tricked, and Esau came in first and stole his brother's birthright. But there Jacob blessed him. It was an irrevocable blessing. It came on Esau. And then when Jacob shows up and he says, okay, now bless me, my father. And he said, but I already did. No, that was Esau. And Jacob said, I can't take it back. And he said, well, father, don't you have a blessing for me? No, son, I gave it away. I'll give what I can, but that's been taken. But aren't you glad when it comes to Jesus, he can bless us again? There's no end to the blessings. There's nothing that can stop your blessing. In fact, in John 12, where Jesus said, Father, I've glorified thy name, and I want to know if you'll do it again. And the Father said to his Son, I have glorified it, and I'll do it again. And God can bless you again and again and again and again, and there's no end to his blessings. If he does it to the waters abundantly, and if the sparrows are taken care of, how much more are you important that he will bless you? In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, this idea of blessing, that's why Jesus said, when you go to preach the gospel, when you go into the house, I want your blessing to be upon it. And if they don't take your blessing when you leave, just wipe the dust off of your feet. But this is not just a ritual we do. When you say to someone, God bless you, I hope from this day forward, you will realize the importance of those words. When you're not to take the Lord's name in vain, we could include it in this thought of letting it include, oh, when I say God bless you, I want you to know God stands behind that. And he does bless. And God instructed Moses, I'm going to tell you what to say, Moses, because I'm going to stand behind it and make it good. And in Deuteronomy 2:7, God instructed Moses to bless the people. In Genesis 39:43, we read these words, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. This blessing he gives Noah and his sons And God blessed Noah. Well, hadn't he blessed him up to that point? Yes. But he's blessing them again. This characteristic of God in his nature. God is a giving God. He gave the most valuable things heaven could give. He gave his Son, and he gave the Holy Spirit. The Sermon on the Mount was full of teachings about who the blessed are. And no wonder Jabez, and they wrote a book called The Jabez Prayer. No wonder Jabez prayed, "Oh God, bless me." And Jabez, he knew there is something about God's blessings, and I want it. And Jabez said, "Lord, bless me, enlarge my coast, let not thy hand depart from me," and the fourfold points within his prayer. And how many times do we read when Jesus showed up, especially unannounced, his first words were, "Blessings, peace be still." In fact, do you know the last words that Jesus spoke when he left this world? It says in Luke 24:50. It says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." I hope I'm not reading into Scripture too much, but when you bless people, you're lifted up. You will be lifted up when you bless people. This wasn't the first or the last time. These words was carried out. Jesus shows up in the middle of the disciples when they're hiding for fear, thinking they may be persecuted next. He shows up, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be unto you," or blessing. May we remind ourselves to bless one another. May we bless one another, even your enemies. And so in closing, I want to do what Brother Harms told me to do years ago. Called me up on a Saturday night. I'd already talking to him that day. He said, "Brother Connor," he said, "I feel impressed. I want you to do this to your congregation." This is up in White Salmon. I said, "What?" He said, "I want you to read the prayer in Genesis 6:23 where Moses blessed the people. Call the people down and pray that blessing over them." I remember doing that. You say, "What happened?" Everybody got healed. Everybody got filled. Everybody just got written. No. It was a wonderful thing. And I want to do that this morning. Would you stand? And I want you to come. And I'm not the one that has any power, but God, he told Moses to do this, and I believe his word. And I'm going to read to you what he told him to say, and I'm going to say it over you. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, here's what God told Moses. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children. How many could use a blessing? Come on, Mother of Israel. You can come all the way from Dan to Beersheba. It's worth the trip. And here's what Moses said. And I say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Heavenly Father, we have done what you have said to do. I know you'll honor your word, and you will bless these people that you have called me to shepherd. I pray you bless them. Bless them abundantly, and their children, and their grandchildren. Oh God, we need thy blessing. And if the waters can bring forth abundantly, how much more can you give us abundant life? Bless them. Bless them in their coming in and their going out. Bless them in their meditations. Bless them in their thought life. Bless them at work and bless them at home. Bless them at church. Bless them when they come in and bless them when they go out. Oh, as Jabez said, Lord, bless me. And I'm so glad you don't run out of blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.